Hello, this is the listening test.
Part 1. You are going to hear a tour. As you listen, fill the missing information in the notes below.
First, you have some time to look at questions.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello and good morning. Well, we're off to a good start in the south this week as most of the rain from the weekend has disappeared. Just a few patches of cloud and maybe some showers here on the east coast. They're all clear up by lunchtime though. Over the next day or so, London and the area around Kent can expect a couple of isolated showers, but mostly dry through until Thursday. It's not such good news for the northwest this week, I'm afraid. More wet weather and not a lot of sunshine. Some of today's showers will be heavy and even thundery in Manchester and across the Pennines. Leeds will escape the thunderstorms with drizzle and light rain only throughout the rest of the day and tonight. Elsewhere, it becomes dry today, but with some foggy patches towards Wales. In England, tomorrow morning we'll see a dry, bright start in most places with high temperatures throughout the week. We might see one or two thunderstorms appearing as the week goes on, with temperatures everywhere at 29 to 30 degrees. By the weekend, unfortunately, the dry weather will make way for mostly cloudy skies and rain. The rain will move from Scotland down towards the north and reach the south coast by Saturday afternoon. Temperatures at least will stay mostly warm at around 21 degrees for the weekend. It might feel like a nice change from the high 20s and early 30s we'll see in the week. That's all from me until tomorrow. Enjoy the mini heatwave while you can.
Now listen again.
Hello and good morning. Well, we're off to a good start in the south this week as most of the rain from the weekend has disappeared. Just a few patches of cloud and maybe some showers here on the east coast. They're all clear up by lunchtime, though. Over the next day or so, London and the area around Kent can expect a couple of isolated showers, but mostly dry through until Thursday. It's not such good news for the northwest this week, I'm afraid. More wet weather and not a lot of sunshine. Some of today's showers will be heavy and even thundery in Manchester and across the Pennines. Leeds will escape the thunderstorms with drizzle and light rain only throughout the rest of the day and tonight. Elsewhere, it becomes dry today, but with some foggy patches towards Wales. In England, tomorrow morning we'll see a dry, bright start in most places with high temperatures throughout the week. We might see one or two thunderstorms appearing as the week goes on, with temperatures everywhere at 29 to 30 degrees. By the weekend, unfortunately, the dry weather will make way for mostly cloudy skies and rain. The rain will move from Scotland down towards the north and reach the south coast by Saturday afternoon. Temperatures at least will stay mostly warm at around 21 degrees for the weekend. It might feel like a nice change from the high 20s and early 30s we'll see in the week. That's all from me until tomorrow. Enjoy the mini heatwave while you can.
That is the end of part one.
Part two. You will hear a radio report about summer jobs for students.
Now that summer is here, students start wondering about work and how to make a bit of money over the holidays. Our reporter, Jane Stevens, has looked into possibilities of summer jobs and has come up with a few promising suggestions. Hello, Jane.
Thank you, David. Well, I've got some very interesting possibilities for students who aren't afraid of hard work. They are at the Jersey Farm Company, which caters a lot of social functions, such as weddings during the summer. They are looking for students between the ages of 18 to 24. The work lasts from the 15th of July until the end of August, which is about 6 weeks all told. The work falls into two basic categories, catering and administrative jobs. They are looking for people for both sides of the business. On the catering side, you'd be working at a social function at least twice a week. For example, at a wedding, the catering staff is responsible for serving guests and, of course, setting and clearing tables and washing dishes on site. For the rest of the time, you work behind the scenes preparing food, such as salads or sandwiches, as well as polishing glassware or helping out in the hotel and restaurant at the farm itself. On the administrative side, there are jobs as reception clerks, which means you deal with the organisational side of things. This includes dealing with bookings by phone, seating arrangements, receiving guests and showing them to their tables, etc. Other jobs include handling the constant stream of inquiries Jersey Farm receives by email and fax, and the filing that has to be done. This is for the computer literate among you. So, if you want a desk job, apply soon. Another possibility is also with the same company, but in deliveries. Jersey Farm provides this area with fresh dairy produce and vegetables. If you have a valid driving license, you could work as a lorry driver. You'd be making deliveries early in the morning to local restaurants and supermarkets, as well as collecting various things for the catering company from local suppliers. Payment is approximately £8 an hour, which is just a little more than the student rate. And as for the work, they guarantee a minimum of 30 hours a week, but you have to arrange your own student tax forms. For those of you staying in the area this coming academic year, there is a possibility of a part-time evening job in the farm restaurant or bar. Inquiries can be made at the office. Phone 1642 873220. So that's about it for now. Next week, I'll have details of fruit-picking jobs on local farms too.
Now you will hear part two again.
Now that summer is here, students start wondering about work and how to make a bit of money over the holidays. Our reporter, Jane Stevens, has looked into possibilities of summer jobs and has come up with a few promising suggestions. Hello, Jane.
Thank you, David. Well, I've got some very interesting possibilities for students who aren't afraid of hard work. They are at the Jersey Farm Company, which caters a lot of social functions, such as weddings during the summer. They are looking for students between the ages of 18 to 24. The work lasts from the 15th of July until the end of August, which is about 6 weeks all told. The work falls into two basic categories, catering and administrative jobs. They are looking for people for both sides of the business. On the catering side, you'd be working at a social function at least twice a week. For example, at a wedding, the catering staff is responsible for serving guests and, of course, setting and clearing tables and washing dishes on site. For the rest of the time, you work behind the scenes preparing food, such as salads or sandwiches, as well as polishing glassware or helping out in the hotel and restaurant at the farm itself. On the administrative side, there are jobs as reception clerks, which means you deal with the organisational side of things. This includes dealing with bookings by phone, seating arrangements, receiving guests and showing them to their tables, etc. Other jobs include handling the constant stream of inquiries Jersey Farm receives by email and fax, and the filing that has to be done. This is for the computer literate among you. So, if you want a desk job, apply soon. Another possibility is also with the same company, but in deliveries. Jersey Farm provides this area with fresh dairy produce and vegetables. If you have a valid driving license, you could work as a lorry driver. You'd be making deliveries early in the morning to local restaurants and supermarkets, as well as collecting various things for the catering company from local suppliers. Payment is approximately £8 an hour, which is just a little more than the student rate. And as for the work, they guarantee a minimum of 30 hours a week, but you have to arrange your own student tax forms. For those of you staying in the area this coming academic year, there is a possibility of a part-time evening job in the farm restaurant or bar. Inquiries can be made at the office. Phone 1642 873220. So that's about it for now. Next week, I'll have details of fruit-picking jobs on local farms too.
That was the end of part two. Now turn to part three.
So we think we know how to motivate people, right? Offer them a reward, do this and you'll get this. Do this faster, earn more money. Do this better than everyone else, here's a promotion. We offer incentives when we want people to do things. We do it at work, at school, even at home with our kids. Tidy your room and you can watch TV. But when social psychologists test whether incentives work, they get surprising results. Sam Glucksberg from Princeton University, America, set people a problem to solve and told them he was going to time them to see how long they took. Then he put them in two groups. He offered one group a reward for finishing fast, $5 for anyone finishing in the top 25%, and $20 for the person who finished the fastest of all. To the other group, he offered no incentive, but he told them he was going to use their times to calculate an average time. The first group, the ones with the reward, solved the problem faster, you'd think, right? Well, no. They actually took 3.5 minutes longer than the group who just thought they were being timed. incentive didn't work. In fact, it made them slower. This experiment has been repeated, with the same results, many times. But in business, we still offer bonuses, promotions, and rewards to staff. That's fine if we want them to do something simple, like chop wood. We'll pay you more if you chop the wood faster. An incentive works then. But if we want someone to do something complex, something creative, something where they have to think, rewards don't work. They might even have the opposite result and make people perform worse. Another study by Dan Ariely showed that the bigger the reward, the worse the subjects performed on a complex task. The reward made them focus so hard on the result that they couldn't think creatively anymore. And this all matters because more and more simple jobs will become automated. We'll be left with creative, problem-solving jobs that computers will never do. And we need to find a way to motivate people to do those jobs when we've proved the traditional incentives don't work. So what does work? Giving your workers freedom. Freedom to work on the things they want to work on. Freedom to choose when, where, and how they work. Want to work from home 3 days a week? Get up late and work into the night instead? Fine. Just do the job well. And evidence shows people who choose the way they work get results. Companies that give employees time during the week to work on things that interest them and are not part of their regular job achieve amazing things. Some of the big tech companies are good examples of this, with ping pong tables and areas to relax in.
Now you will hear part three again.
So we think we know how to motivate people, right? Offer them a reward. Do this and you'll get this. Do this faster, earn more money. Do this better than everyone else, here's a promotion. We offer incentives when we want people to do things. We do it at work, at school, even at home with our kids. Tidy your room and you can watch TV. But when social psychologists test whether incentives work, they get surprising results. Sam Glucksberg from Princeton University, America, set people a problem to solve and told them he was going to time them to see how long they took. Then he put them in two groups. He offered one group a reward for finishing fast, $5 for anyone finishing in the top 25%, and $20 for the person who finished the fastest of all. To the other group, he offered no incentive, but he told them he was going to use their times to calculate an average time. The first group, the ones with the reward, solved the problem faster, you'd think, right? Well, no. They actually took 3.5 minutes longer than the group who just thought they were being timed. Incentive didn't work. In fact, it made them slower. This experiment has been repeated, with the same results, many times. But in business, we still offer bonuses, promotions, and rewards to staff. That's fine if we want them to do something simple, like chop wood. We'll pay you more if you chop the wood faster. An incentive works then. But if we want someone to do something complex, something creative, something where they have to think, rewards don't work. They might even have the opposite result and make people perform worse. Another study by Dan Ariely showed that the bigger the reward, the worse the subjects performed on a complex task. The reward made them focus so hard on the result that they couldn't think creatively anymore. And this all matters because more and more simple jobs will become automated. We'll be left with creative, problem-solving jobs that computers will never do. And we need to find a way to motivate people to do those jobs when we've proved the traditional incentives don't work. So what does work? Giving your workers freedom. Freedom to work on the things they want to work on. Freedom to choose when, where, and how they work. Want to work from home 3 days a week? Get up late and work into the night instead? Fine. Just do the job well. And evidence shows people who choose the way they work get results. Companies that give employees time during the week to work on things that interest them and are not part of their regular job achieve amazing things. Some of the big tech companies are good examples of this, with ping pong tables and areas to relax in.
That was the end of part 3.